afternoon. Today is Tuesday, April the 14th, 105th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt County Commissioners and Visitors Bureau, Executive Director Tony Smithers.
Hello, Brian.
Howdy ho.
No, just
boy,
Tony.
I'm almost perky, huh? this afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the, I guess, the details. Most of us are familiar with details, and we tend to kind of skirt around or forget or gloss over or not pay attention to the details. And we'll spend a little bit of time talking about how much the details can matter and how much they can impact things. Certainly, Tony will be coming from a perspective of the tourist industry, but in general terms, some of the things that are overlooked that perhaps shouldn't be for many reasons.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
I hope so. You gave me the topic and that whole big cue card that was in your handwriting. We'll get into my words when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. You know, you could use this for your board meeting.
Oh, let's hear.
Robin Morgan is a source. Quote, don't accept rides from strange men. Now, I'm going to inject here. Don't accept ideas from strange men.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, all men are strange. Oh, boy. So what's hot and exciting?
Well, you know, this tourism industry of ours is on fire. We are expecting there to be a 10% growth this year alone, on top of 10% plus last year. And all of that is without the new marketing and the new campaign from the Humboldt Lodging Alliance. So,
just inertia? Or has something happened out there?
Well, I think you have to recognize pent-up demand. Maybe we're late, but we're finally coming out of the recession. And there's a lot of delayed travel plans and aspirations. And we kind of have what people are looking for. So,
what is it that they're looking for? I know in the past we've talked about redwoods.
Mm-hmm.
And we've locked horns because I think it's something else. Is redwoods what they're looking for? Are they getting away? Are you seeing any changes in the length of stay, any of that kind of stuff? Or is it just, okay, I'm going to go north?
Yeah, well, you know, redwoods, I think, has become the poster child or the moniker that you can hang your hat on because it represents the experience that people are looking for. They don't necessarily have to be in the trees to want a true, authentic rural getaway that's safe, relaxing, it's interesting, and again,
so the trees are just representative of what they're striving for.
Yeah, you could almost label it by saying everything that the city is not, in some respects.
No, we got dog parks now.
We do have a dog park.
Yeah.
but we're not crowded. We're not overpriced. We're not in a hurry. So all of those things, if you could just read any TripAdvisor posting and the things that people say about Humboldt and the experience they have sort of all speak to those values that were different, and they kind of felt it was what California used to be 20, 30 years ago.
So when you pose the same questions to locals, what is it that we don't get that these folks get?
Are you referring to how we may not appreciate what we have, or?
Or recognize it.
Or can't see the forest for the trees.
Yeah, that would be a hackneyed bad pun, but yeah, that would work.
Well, you know, that's not really a fair question because anybody who's on vacation has got the perspective and the leisure to see a destination for its best parts. They don't have to be here all the time.
Yeah, they're not living it.
on the other hand, most of the people I know who live here do appreciate the wonder that is Humboldt. Whether it's they go on the water all the time, or they go out to Arts Alive and appreciate the arts and culture. You know, every aspect that makes life what it is here is worthy of being embraced, and is, I think, by people who live here.
Do you find that there are constituency groups for each of those areas that you were referencing, experience areas, not geographic?
Well, yeah. I mean, if there's interests, whether it's, you know, a sport. I mentioned on the water, yeah, paddle sports are huge up here. My office manager is always out every weekend practicing rolls in Big Lagoon or something like
Hopefully
that.
Hopefully at high tide.
No, in the lagoon.
No, well, still, I mean, there's
no
still
tides in the lagoon usually.
Big Lagoon does.
Okay.
just want to make sure there's not head damage going on.
Yeah. There's a North Coast Kayakers Adventure. There's a paddle sports group. So, yeah, there are interest groups. So it's almost like we're one big retirement community because everyone's got their little club and you can go and play dominoes if that's your whatever.
No kidding. But I would imagine it's tough to kind of stay abreast of all the different changes that are going. I mean, paddle, yeah, right, give me a break. 25 years ago, that meant either a kayak or a canoe. Take your pick. That was about it. You know, maybe the Mattaket would qualify for some people's perspectives.
Well, it's still only a kayak or a canoe. Say it's only a kayak, but is it a river kayak for doing stunts in? Is it a touring kayak? Is it a fishing kayak? I mean, there's all these little subcategories and specializations going on.
So as you look at that landscape with these folks coming to our area, are they coming for the same reasons that they have historically, or are they getting exposed to some of these super niche user groups,
right,
and responding because of them?
Well, many of them are, and believe you, that makes our job easier. Just take fishing for an example. You know, fishing is not just one monolithic thing. There's all these little niches within it. But let's take fly fishing on the Trinity River. There are sporting goods stores in the North State. There are websites and groups who all talk about it. They do the marketing for us. So that is the kind of super niche you're talking about.
It's kind of like don't trip and fall.
Yeah.
Lose your candy.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, one of the things that, I mean, you didn't say the phrase, you didn't use the word, but what I was hearing was expectations, managing expectations, whether it's a customer in a retail setting or in a restaurant or in a hotel or visiting.
Right,
managing expectations. Okay. Now, we've always taken the whack them over the head with a message approach and get their attention and get them to come here. Well, now if they're starting to come here at this 10% increase and then the additional pop that will be happening this year, are we managing their expectations at the same time so when they come to town or whatever the town is, they get the wow because they're expecting maybe a 7 and they're getting delivered a 9.
Mm-hmm.
They're excited, and now you got that word of mouth thing working. The
magical word of mouth. Yeah.
Really aggressively rather than, you know, they expect a 6, they get a 6. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun, but no great shakes.
Sure. Well, you know, that's always been an important part of not just tourism, but of, you know, any industry, but ever since the growth of social media, it has become absolutely critical, not only to meet expectations, but to exceed them, because that's what's going to really make or break you. You can't afford the advertising budget to convince everyone that you're a great product. You have to have, you know, champions out there who are users and consumers. So you're absolutely right. Now, that is why a lot of folks, you know, at the Bureau, on our board, and in our industry are asking some hard questions right now, saying, well, we're growing. We have capacity in every month except July and August. So we're right now we're about a $350 million industry. We could be double that in 10 years. What's that going to mean, and how are we going to meet those expectations?
What does it look like here on the home front, but also what does it look like to get there?
And a lot of it is just nuts and bolts stuff, like, do we have enough public restrooms, and are they well kept?
Yeah, right? So the maintained part is...
Right now, the answer's got to be no, you know, so we got work to do.
Yeah, stay away from the chemical toilets.
Right. <Oof. laughs> But in general, we're asking ourselves, you know, we envision us becoming, we're throwing around the words, world-class destination. That is, you know, that's got to be on everyone's bucket list.
Is that defined?
No. But you can't say what it is, but you know it when you get there. I think it's just, you know, because...
Stay away from the magazine rack, man.
Yeah, because... Yeah. No, you know, you have a recognition in general popular culture. You're on everyone's wish list, your bucket list. So, yeah. So, but what is the thing that defines a world-class destination versus what we are now? And one of the things we think it is just a level of service that really surpasses visitor expectations and creates a really phenomenal experience for when they get here.
I've got buddies that talk to me about trying to get to a certain level of perfection. 90%, 95%, 98%. You know, at some point between 98 and 100%, it becomes counterproductive and you can't.
But you keep trying.
Well, and it costs so much more money to get that last 0.1%. Mm-hmm. While that's the goal, it can't be the fixation.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at the mix of the different businesses that are here, whether they're members of the Bureau or not, members of the Chamber or not, how many of those folks can you afford to have trained up to that level of visitor service that you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding that there's a lot of turnover, understanding that there's some that aren't going to get it, that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a really good question. Now, I think we have to sort of triage. I mean, and start by focusing on the points of, you know, visitor contact. Where does the visitor rub against the local hospitality
gas stations
providers? Gas stations is a good one, but you know, so certainly anyone at a front desk of a lodging.
Okay. Yeah. Any front desk or interactive. You know, the retail floor.
The retail floor is important, especially in, you know, places like Old Town or the Arcata Plaza, where we know visitors are.
How about Avenue of the Giants, the guy that somebody runs into an hour before they end up at wherever they're going to end up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they have a chance to either linger on it,
right,
or stew on it the way that they were treated.
Well, that's the thing. And so here's my little rainbow idea in my head, is that if we're going to be a world-class destination, which means everybody here has got to get into the game. They have to get into the mindset of being what we call a concierge.
How about even understanding that they're part of the team?
That's part of it.
I think that would be step one.
We have some education to do and some cheerleading, if you will. But let's start from a basis of reality that we are right now a $350 million industry. That's not going to go away when pot's legalized. That is clean. It doesn't extract from our environment. It's, you know, all the good things about it. People come, they leave the money, they go away again.
Very little government oversight. It's another plus.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, it's a clean dollar. It's a larger dollar than it is in some of the other niches.
Right.
But you'll still get some blowback on that.
Well, you know, you want to take people along with you, and some people just don't want to go on the journey. So,
I don't want to try that food. I don't care if I can't pronounce it. I don't like it. Filet mignon. It's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers from the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau. Tony, we were talking a little bit about managing expectations before the break. What do you see as the biggest challenge in working with visitors? Is it the expectations? Is it the reality once they get here? Is it the folks that they interact with during the time that they're here? What is the thing that you'd like to be able to focus on initially?
Well, I don't think it's what happens when they get here, because our destination, it follows through on the expectations. We tend to market and promote the county, building sort of high expectations for a magical experience. And we give a magical experience, whether it's in the Redwoods or in Ferndale. I mean, it's there. I think maybe the issues that you would expect to be issues are something to be concerned about. Homelessness that people comment on. It's everywhere, but it's still it can be off-putting to people.
It's prolific here. Compared to other communities.
Well, compared to some other communities. You know, compared to Portland, no, it's not.
But okay. So, you hang out in Haight-Ashbury and the Tenderloin in San Francisco. Right. But it's larger than what expectations are, so it results in comments.
The fact is we in our role review all the comments that are posted in social media and what have you, so we know it's an issue. And then I think the other kinds of issues are just ones of growing pains. Access to the destination. We're still very immature in some respects as a market. We don't want to become Disneyland, but it would be great to have more small businesses who are in the business of providing experiences up here.
You know, I know Disneyland has been kind of seen as the Antichrist by a lot of people, but it's thrown out as this innocuous. What is it about Disneyland that you don't want? Because what I think of Disneyland, I think of access, parking lots, transportation. Mm-hmm. I think of concessions. You certainly don't have long lines to wait in for the food. You've got specific things that you're looking for, and rarely does it disappoint. You know, if you want to go on the Matterhorn, okay, I mean, there's the Matterhorn or Splash Mountain or one of those. So what is this thing about Disneyland that is used as this huge negative when so many see it as a positive?
Well, as a matter of fact, I tend to agree with pretty much everything you said. I mean, I use the term to differentiate that we're not a manufactured experience, that we're an authentic experience.
So it's not the infrastructure associated with it.
The infrastructure associated with it should teach us a lot of lessons. We need to learn from Disneyland. We need to learn how to manage visitor expectations and to give them a seamless experience where they're not wondering what to go and where to do and how to spend their money.
What would be interesting? Have you guys been to Vail?
I know what it is.
Okay. We went through in summertime, so it was their off season. And it was interesting for us. I knew I felt familiar. I mean, something, and I'd never been there before, and certainly skiing is not. And it felt like Disneyland. All the flowers were blooming and well-maintained. All the weeds were picked. There were no gardens. They had cobblestones in their public parking facilities. I mean, it was all surreal because of that level that it was maintained and what was going on. Of course, the rents are a little bit higher there and a bunch of other things, but it was, everything was extraordinarily well kept.
They are fulfilling a fantasy.
Right, and it's a high-end fantasy, yeah. So we got to go with that. But, I mean, even the storefronts. You know, if your storefront hasn't, if you haven't painted it in the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
should it be?
Right.
I mean, some real basic things like that that might be interesting also.
We're getting into a whole area which I've been kind of interested in lately called various things, but one of the newest terms is called geotourism, geographical
tourism. Does it have anything to do with small little cars?
No.
Good,
no.
Okay.
And it's all about what they call integrity of place. Figure out why you are special, and then make sure you preserve and support that which makes you special.
Which is kind of that whole managing expectations.
Yes.
Making sure that, yeah, that the message.
So job one for Humboldt County would be to make sure that we keep our redwoods there and accessible with good bathrooms. You know, we would say, okay, what's the cultural side of it?
But let's see, even with that, the accessibility into the redwoods. Okay, we got the trees. Okay, we got the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Accessibility now starts to get defined in a whole bunch of different ways. You mentioned, you know, the facilities. Okay, well, that's state and the national park, by and large. Now, the county parks are obviously involved also. But when you talk about having bathrooms mm-hmm. that are maintained, searching for the right word here, maintained at a level of expectation. Well, okay, how is Tony/CVB going to lean on the state of California to keep their bathrooms maintained to a level that is serviceable, reasonable by visitors into Humboldt County?
In Eastern County, when the National Forest was having budget troubles, the Willow Creek Community Services District took over maintenance of the state forest bathrooms. It was a true public-private, and we're seeing more and more. In fact, the state Parks and Recreation Department is kind of reinventing itself, as we know, with this initiative called Parks Forward. And one of the recommendations is reaching out and building all kinds of public-private partnerships to do these sorts of things. So it's not like it's going to, you know, get a stonewall if we went to say, hey, you know, that needs some help. Let's work together.
So there's a willingness now.
Right.
Where in the past, perhaps, there may not have been quite as willing an attitude.
Our public lands agencies locally are all really, really great. Now, their job one is to preserve the lands to which they've been entrusted, but they also understand that they're part of the community and that they're in the tourism industry as well.
Get people in and out safely.
Yeah. And give them a meaningful experience.
Does that include T-shirts?
No. Leave that for a private vendor to do who has a concession in the park.
We'll talk about that when we come back. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, what about the memories part of it? You know, once they're here... And
well, thanks for them.
Yeah. do we have enough things? I mean, to go back to our Disneyland analogy, where do you buy the mouse ears?
Yeah. And it just as a side note, I've always found it interesting at theme parks now that the gift shop is at the exit to the ride. You can't get off the ride without walking through the gift shop.
Well, so many of them are themed.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a Star Wars ride, okay. I mean, you know, the kids are amped up. They want Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah. Well, why'd it take so long?
We have that in a couple of ways, if you look at it this way. Down at Richardson Grove, there's that little, right by the county border, there is the one log house and some great little shops and things there where people can pick stuff up and salmon jerky and whatever. And then at the north end, even though it's over the county line, but the Trees of Mystery has an awesome gift shop that has Redwood Country tchotchkes.
Yeah, I would think that there would be a real strong opportunity for somebody in between those two ends.
Well,
to be able to do something, whether it's a nautical themed one or, you know, the places where folks hang out. It has always been curious to me, you know, for 35 years.
Sure.
Where do you go to get a shirt that says Eureka?
Well, you can, actually. There are some places.
Yeah, but nothing leaps to mind.
Well, try first the Eureka Chamber of Commerce on Broadway or the California Welcome Center up at Giantoli. They have all that stuff.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Arcata sells Eureka?
They sell Humboldt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's in the old drive-in theater spot, right?
No. At Giantoli.
The old movie.
Well, it's that whole new complex where the BLM is at, you know.
See, you interlopers.
Everyone should go and have a look there at the California Welcome Center. It promotes the entire North Coast. They've got all kinds of things.
Is it easy to get to?
Really, you just get off the freeway and go over the overpass and turn, and it's right there.
And they're Monday, Sunday kind of an operation, I would imagine.
They are open on weekends because the Humboldt Lodging Alliance gave them a grant to be open on weekends.
Oh, really? They weren't before?
Sundays, yeah.
When the tourists are in the area, they were closed?
Well, on weekends, yeah, because of funding.
Close on a Wednesday. Well, interesting stuff. We'll see what happens this summer, huh? What is your marker for whether this is going to be a strong summer or not? When does it start? When should we start seeing the Winnebagos and the foreign license plates?
Well, I see them already, but graduation weekend, second weekend of May, is always full, but sometimes it seems to stay full from then on.
That's kind of the front end of the
season.
Yeah,
if not that, at least Memorial Day, the Kinetic Sculpture Race, then it really gets rolling.
Crazy times ahead. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.